Hey, let me get that bitter. There we go. That's so I can cue up the video and the audio. That's why I do that every time. If you didn't know. Secrets of the trade. So, vocab is still your big struggle. Just using it helps. And I'll help you along with vocab throughout the day. Flashcards are the way to go with vocab, I think. It's just a matter of repetition. Moving through this. So, notes are there for this week, so you can follow along. We're going to do adjectives today. We'll try and keep it right at 10 to 15 minutes of review so we have a full 25 for adjectives. Last week we covered prepositions. We talked about, and they work exactly like they do in English pretty much, except that with prepositions in Greek you have to worry about the case they're being used with in the object. So, example up here, the genitive of theou, of God, is used with the preposition apa, away, or from. So, the word of God would be, it's just halagos tou theou, but the word from God would be halagos apa theou. So the apa changes the sense a little bit. Prepositions are relationship words, they're place words. I didn't look at your definitions. Is that track with you?
A word relating what an object is in relation to something else or where it is in the environment.
There you go. Yeah. Translate the entire prepositional phrase as a chunk instead of... if you just translate the preposition and forget the words after it, you'll get confused later on. So you gotta... Preposition, okay, what is the object of this preposition? It might be just one noun, it might be a big string of nouns and genitives together. You gotta work through that. And that's, again, practice. You recognize constructions and how they work when you use them. And we talked about the present active indicative of the to-be verb, which we'll get into verbs in 2 weeks, I think. But maybe next week. I don't remember. But... this is the to-be verb. Ami, a, estin. Ami is I am, a is you are, estin is he, she, it is. And then esmen, este, es, asin. We are, y'all are, they are. And right now, just memorize those words and what they mean exactly. We'll get into the grammar of how they work and what they mean when we get to verbs, which will be a fun time. People are going to want to be here for that one because verbs are the hard part of Greek. How much of the review workbook did you do?
I looked over, but I didn't have time to
do it
again. Prepared as I should have been this week.
That's all good. You're here, right? So. Parsing was pretty easy on this one. Let's just do some on-the-fly parsing. Let's see how you do. There wasn't anything particularly new in terms of parsing in this section. This was more of a review kind of parsing section. So let's find a good one. Number 4. That's a good one.
Okay. That is genitive plural.
Genitive plural. Nice.
Gender could be all.
Nope.
So, well, I guess the word is...
Yeah, there you go. The word, the word itself is what will tell you the gender. That's always going to be the case. The ending might give you a clue as to the gender. But the word itself is going to be what tells you the gender every time. So you got to know the word. Which do you know the word or? Sound it out for me. Sound it out what number 4 actually says.
Let's see, ama.
Yeah. So also take note of the rough breathing marks. So. Ha. Mar.
Hamar Roteon.
Hamar Tion. So the the ro makes the r sound. So it's Hamar Tion. Hamar Tion.
So he's just breaking it into chunks.
Yeah. That syllabification thing that we sped over. You review that. That'll help you with sounding out. But just, again, practice. It's using the words. Yep. So, yeah, harmartion, which comes from the word...
Harmartia.
So it's got an alpha ending. What does that clue you into about the gender?
Feminine,
there you go. So that's something you're going to learn, too. Harmartia is the word for sin, and it's feminine. And hamartolos is the word for sinner, and it's masculine. So, two different nouns, but related, same root. So, hamartia is sin, feminine. Yeah. And that's not a commentary at all on the nature of sin. Some people try to, like, draw that, like, oh yeah, Eve sinned first, which is why sin is feminine. It's like, well, no, hamartolos is masculine. It's just... they picked a gender. Let's go with number 7. That's a good one.
Okay.
Sound it out first. Practice sounding out words.
Is that a xi?
Yeah.
That's xi, xio, xio.
So remember that the X just makes the X sound. So X, U, yeah.
Xion, Xion.
There you go, Xion. You got it. And I'll tell you what the lexical form is. So Xusia.
Okay, so that would be feminine.
Feminine, yeah. And the case and number.
That's one of those weird ones.
Yeah, it's one of the alpha. It's one of the alpha pattern first declension nouns, right?
Would that be? No, I don't think that's nominative.
Correct. It is not nominative. If you look at, so you got your eta pattern ones right there, right? The on that chart. So you got the eta pattern. Just imagine the etas on the singulars were alphas instead. That's the alpha pattern.
Oh, okay. Is it accusative?
There you go. Accusative. Accusative singular feminine from the lexical form exousia, which means authority or right. Let's do one more. We can do an easy one. Number 10. That's a nice little second declension. Yeah. Yeah, that's a key. Or key is what...
Ocular.
There you go. Pretty close. Achloy. Achloy. All of the letters phi, chi, xi, pi, they just make the first sound in the letter. They don't.
Okay.
So the chi just makes the sound k or k.
Okay.
Instead of chi. So, same with alpha, it just makes an ah sound. Beta, it just makes a b sound.
Okay.
The ones that are one syllable, it just makes the very first initial sound in the letter.
Okay.
So, yeah, achloi, and it's from the lexical form achlos. So, parse it for me.
Let's see, that would be nominative plural.
Nominative plural. You got it.
And masculine.
Masculine, yep. Nicely done. And achlos means crowd. And we'll do a couple translations. Y'all. Yeah.
Cool. You can teach me some too. If you
yeah.
Want
to. Feel free to join in.
I mean, I already know everything, but I'll just correct you if you're wrong.
Good. Thanks. Lean back a little bit. You got the camera back there.
Oh, my bad.
Let's go with number 5. That's a good one to do. We'll do number 5 and number 10.
Okay.
Give you a middle one and a tough one. Alright. First thing you want to do is break it up into your manageable chunks. So, example would be chi. Alright. Chi is one of those words you immediately isolate because, you know, it's a transition word. It's and. So, chi. He gives you the next one, which is a verb.
And they were being baptized.
Yeah, so. And they were being baptized. Look for a nominative. Do you see a nominative anywhere? No, no nominative. So that tells you that the subject of the sentence is where?
It's either not in the sentence. Cause
yeah, it's assumed in the verb. So the verb tells you that tells you the subject of the sentence is to they.
So the people were being baptized.
Yeah. So yeah, the verb is in a certain. Has a certain parsing, and it's third person plural. So that tells you they is the subject. Okay, so you know that the subject is assumed in the verb now, so and they were being baptized is your subject. What about the rest of it? Hupautu ento Yudain.
That's a familiar word.
And I'm pronouncing that right. Yordaion. Yordane. Yordane. I need to just slow down and read it instead of trying to assume what this is.
So, and they were being baptized. I don't think that's not in, is it?
Correct, it's not in.
It's not, because that's the E.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where is that one word? Outso. What does that mean?
Good.
Somewhere in one of these.
All right, yeah, I'll be your dictionary for now. Auto means, or, so auto comes from the nominative would be autos, him.
Okay.
So, auto, hoop auto, is your first prepositional phrase, and hoop is from hoopa, which means by.
So that'd be. From him, be baptized, from or by him.
There you go, from or by. So yeah, it would be baptized by him, and then your next prepositional phrase.
In, and then the, whatever it is, so probably a river, some body of water.
Yeah, there you go, and sound it out. Ior.
Ior.
Dane.
Dane.
Ior dane. What does that sound like? In English.
Jordan.
Jordan. There you go. So. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan.
You have to admit, it kind of sounds like you were down there. You were down there.
And how to parse that for me?
To genitive plural. Right? Is it genitive?
It's genitive.
Okay, genitive plural.
Try again.
Singular, sorry.
Genitive singular, there you go.
Yeah, it's singular.
And parse to your dane. There's a nice little clue if you look at the spelling.
Is that dative singular?
Dative singular, yeah. You see the adiota subscript? Dative singular. That's the only one. Nice, not bad. That's good. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan.
So that second word is all of that?
Like, that second word is they were being baptized, yeah.
How many words are like that in the Greek language? Like,
quite a lot. Yeah. So it's baptizo, which is I baptize. E baptizo. The e clues you in that it's an imperfect or past tense in our case. And then onta is the participle form, lets you know it's an ing word. So past tense, baptizing, ing. They were baptizing. And onta also tells you it's passive. So they weren't the ones doing the baptize, they were being baptized. So they were being baptized, yeah. We'll get to all that. We probably won't get to participles unless we keep going after December. But. Let's jump to number 10. That's a good one. Good one to practice breaking up into chunks. All right.
Okay, so start off with and.
Yeah.
So
and. Yeah, that's a nice little trick. That's actually the nominative, and the clue for that is the article. Yeah. So, ha Jesus, that's Jesus. And the Jesus.
And the Jesus?
Yeah. In English, we would just say and Jesus, but in Greek, it actually has the article.
Is that a NATO?
Maybe yeah. We should start saying that. Like, not just Jesus, the Jesus.
So, I don't know what that one means.
Meta means with or after, depending on whether it's used but with a genitive or a dative. So, what's it being used with? Tell me, parse the object of that preposition.
So, we have either from or of because it's genitive.
Genitive, okay. So, meta is being used with a genitive, which means that when it's used with a genitive, it means with. So, and Jesus with tone matheton.
The disciples.
Because that's a plural genitive. So, and Jesus with the disciples, autu. We just did that one. Jesus. What's that one?
Man? Is it man?
It's him.
Him, okay.
And it's a genitive, so what would it be when you put it into a genitive?
Of him.
There you go. So, and Jesus with the disciples of him, or so with his disciples. Right. He gives you the next verb, anekoresen. He, she, it withdrew. So.
So Jesus and his disciples withdrew. So that makes the next one probably from. Or something like
probably
that.
That's a good guess. So good using context clues, but pros actually means to or toward.
Okay.
So to ten thalasson. Parse that one for me.
True. So that's accusative.
Singular. Nice. And thalassa means sea.
Okay.
So. Let me also watch the screen real quick. I'm going to give you the breaking up. So something that you got to take note of is he, she, it withdrew is singular or plural?
Plural. Well, that is singular.
Singular. Okay. So it tells you something about who it's describing. It's describing just Jesus. So in your translation, you got to take that into account. So I drew some breaks in here. So you got Ka Jesus, that's your first chunk, and Jesus. Metaton, matheton, autu, with the disciples of him, or with his disciples. And then translate the verb with its number. He withdrew, because it's referring to the subject, Jesus. Pros tein thalasson, to the sea. So that's what. So when I get a longer sentence, I break it up into those chunks. So those are my prepositional phrases and sections of the sentence, right? And then you rearrange. Because, see, he withdrew describes Jesus, so in English you got to put it before the prepositional phrase with the disciples, or with his disciples. So, and Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea.
Okay.
So, and see how you'd have to make that plural if it was going to be, and Jesus with his disciples withdrew to the sea. Because then it'd be referring to all of them. They withdrew instead of he withdrew. Nice. Yeah, and like I said, it's just a matter of putting in the time. You just gotta practice it. You're doing particularly well. You actually remind me of me a lot, that I could just kind of stumble my way through when I hadn't done the homework. It's like, yeah, I know the grammar well enough, I can figure it out. I would do that a lot. All right, we got 25 minutes left, exactly what I wanted, so... adjectives. Start out by covering adjectives in English. Now, I got to teach a couple of technical terms with the way adjectives work in English. First of all, you know what an adjective is, right?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's something describing someone. Describing.
Describing, yeah. It's a word that describes a noun. It describes a person, place, or thing. Whereas an adverb would describe a verb. Adjectives describe nouns. Adverbs describe verbs. Adjectives also modify pronouns because they work as nouns in the sentence. There's three ways that adjectives work in English, and they're the same three ways that work in Greek. And I got to teach you these technical terms. Understand the concept behind the term. If you understand the concept behind the term, it's going to go miles to understanding how adjectives work. So, first of all, attributively, they work in the attributive. And the concept is that's describing something or qualifying something.
Describing an attribute.
Yeah. So, example, the black dog. That's an attributive quality. It's
bag. It's also racist.
The black bag, excuse me. Yes, it is racist. The black bag. It's giving an attribute to the bag. It's letting you know more information about the bag. It's describing it, qualifying. She learned modern Greek. Modern is qualifying the word Greek. Whereas the sentence would still make sense if she learned Greek, but modern Greek isn't attributing something to it. The good man. That's going to be our example up here. The good man, only in Greek. Letting you know that the man, something about him. It's qualifying, describing. So that's the first one, attributive. The second one, substantive, is where it's acting like a noun. It's putting on the noun clothes and saying, yes, I'm an adjective, but I'm standing here as if I'm a noun. Okay. Examples in English would be the good, the bad, and the ugly. Right? Okay, good, bad, and ugly are all adjectives, but they're standing on their own as if they're nouns. And you notice, whenever substantively in English, they get an article. The good. It's standing there as its own thing, even though really it needs something that it's describing, but it's acting substantively. It's pretending to be a noun.
These would all be nominative in Greek, right?
Not necessarily.
So they're not always the subject of the sentence, even though
correct.
They're acting as
okay. Yeah, they could be acting substantively in other cases.
Okay.
Out with the old and in with the new. Okay, old and new are both adjectives, but when we use that phrase, they're acting substantively like nouns. So attributive means?
Describing an attribute.
Describing an attribute, there you go. Substantively means?
Acting as a noun,
good. Predicate is the is adjective. So it's kind of like the attributive, but when it's being used with one of those, usually with the verb to be. He is something. Example, God is good. So it's kind of a combination of the two of them. They're acting substantively. They're like standing there as its own thing, and it's being ascribed to something else. It's trying to draw some sort of an equation or helping you understand it. I just remember the is adjectives. And there are other verbs you can put in, but usually it's going to be the verb to be. Is, was, are, am. So God is good. I am blue. He was stupid, but now he's smart.
And they normally go after the noun.
Correct. Yeah, normally there'll be... The noun, the verb to be, or is, and then the adjective. And it's equating them.
Okay. And the only one you can really take out and make the sentence still make sense is attributive.
Correct. And attributive is the most common way we use adjectives.
Okay.
Those three make sense?
Yep.
Attributive, substantive, and predicate. Okay. The way you determine how it's being used in English is word order. So the black bag, if you just say the bag black, you go, what talking you? And it doesn't make any sense, right? So word order tells us how the adjective is functioning. The article use, a little bit in English, tells you how the adjective is functioning substantively, right? You want the word the there to let you know it's acting substantively. And then context, obviously. Context is always one of the clues of how do languages work. The words around it tell you how the word is working. Does that track how all that works in English? It makes sense. It's something that we just do.
Yeah.
We don't think about it. If you understand those pieces, we'll move on to adjectives in Greek then. First of all, we're going to look at form first, and then we're going to look at function. So keep those things we just did in English were function things. First, we're going to look at how they look, the form part, the endings, etc. You already know all the endings. Yay! It's the exact same as your noun endings. An adjective has to be able to describe any noun, right? So it has to be able to match it in case, number, and gender. So it has to be able to take on any one of those endings. Like, ha, he, ta, toast. To taste to, to te tom, etc. It's got to be able to match those endings because that tells you what word it's describing. Because that's how you know which word is describing in Greek. It's which one matches word, number, case, and gender. So, adjectives can be formed 24, what? No. 4 times 3?
12,
24. 24 different ways. That was right, yeah. 24 different ways. This the word agathos means good. That's the adjective good in Greek. But you can throw a different ending on there depending on the noun that it is modifying, the noun that it's describing. So if it's modifying a feminine noun, it's got to take on a feminine ending. If it's modifying an accusative noun, it's got to take on an accusative ending. So the stem stays the same, agatha, or agath. And then the ending changes based on the word that it's modifying. So agathos, agathu, agatho, agathon, agathe, agathes, agathe, agathane, etc. So that's the form. Every adjective can be formed 24, really even more different ways. We just haven't learned them yet.
19, because some of them repeat.
Correct, some of them repeat. But we get to third declension nouns. We haven't even talked about those. The stem plus the ending tells you what word is modifying, what form it's taking on. Again, the way you recognize an adjective is vocab. You know, oh yeah, that's an adjective, not a noun. And so then when you see it acting like a noun, you know, oh, it's a substantival adjective, as opposed to an attributive adjective, etc. Just like we do in English. You know that the word green doesn't make sense kind of on its own. It needs something. The chair is green. The green chair. You just know the word and what it means, and so you know, oh yeah, it's an adjective.
But why is it that, like, I mean, I guess we just don't use complete sentences. I kind of just answered my question. But, like, why is, like, hey, what color is the grass? Green.
Yeah. See, and that would be a substantival adjective in English. It's acting substantively. Or it's an implied attributive. So the implied sentence would be, the grass is green.
Right, but we just don't complete the sentence.
Exactly.
Just answer.
That's the form. The form is easy because you already know the form. It's just you match it up with the noun that it's modifying. The function is the tricky part. So it's got the same functions: attributive, substantival, and predicate, and they're determined the same way: word order, article use, and context. Yay for that! There's a few rules though that kind of go into it. So first, attributive. That's the most confusing. There's three different ways that attributives can be formed. There's actually four, but the fourth one is implied. So three attributive positions, first, second, and third. First attributive position is when it goes article, adjective, noun. So we're going to use our example sentence is going to be the good man, agathos anthropos. Okay. Ha agathos anthropos. The adjective is in between the article and the noun. The good way to think of it is like it's trapped. It's ha anthropos, and then how do you want to describe the man? You want to say that he's good? Throw the adjective in between the article and the noun. So you see how it's like, imagine like a powerful magnet between the article and the noun, and the adjective is caught between it. Okay, that's the first attributive position. I call it the trapped position. It lets you know, okay, ha anthropos is the noun, and agathos is stuck in between, trapped, letting you know that on agathos, good, describes anthropos, man. The second way is article use. So another way you can say the good man in Greek is to throw the article onto both the adjective and the noun. Ha agathos, ha anthropos. So that's letting you, that would also be translated the good man. But the article is there to let you know this thing that's acting as a nominative singular noun or adjective right here, it's linked with this other nominative singular noun that follows right after it. They'll always be right next to each other. So, ha agathos, ha anthropos lets you know, oh, that would also just be the good man. You want to translate it literally, it'd be the good, the man. So the good, or the man, the good one, the good man. That's second attributive position, still describing a noun. In English, both of these, you translate it, the good man.
And do they always have the same article?
Yeah, they'll always have the same article.
Okay.
The article will always be the same. It won't always be ha. Sometimes it'll be te or tais or tain or ta or whatever case number and gender it is. But the articles will always match.
Did you just assume it's gender?
That it'll always, all four of these words will always match case number and gender. So that's your clue. So all of these are nominative singular masculines. Ha agathos, ha anthropos. If it said ha agathes, ha anthropos, you know that ha agathes, or it'd be te, or hey agathes, excuse me, hey agathe. Let's go with hey agathe. Nominative feminine, right? Hey agathe. If it said hey agathe, ha anthropos, you know that this doesn't describe that. Those don't go together.
So it would be like the third.
Correct. It'd actually be substantival. It'd be the good woman. You'd supply woman yourself because you know that it's feminine. So,
yeah.
Hey agathe would be the good woman. The man would be how that would be translated. Okay. So yeah, matching case number and gender. Ha agathos, ha anthropos. And then third attributive is the exact same thing, only they're reversed. The noun, the article noun comes before the article adjective, but the same idea of all of them matching case number and gender, and they're both preceded by an article.
Okay.
Did that kind of track?
Yeah.
So these are all different ways. These three ways are how you would write the good man.
You said this one was the most complicated?
Yes. Why isn't my clicker working?
You said the second or the third is more complicated?
All three. The attributive method is the most complicated. So that's how you do the attributive. All of these would be translated the good man because they're all the attributive style. The fourth attributive would be where there's no article at all. It'd be agathos anthropos. You know that it's... but usually you'll see this and this. First and second attributive are the most common. So, if you see an adjective with an article on it, always check to see if there's a noun that matches case number and gender, in which case you know it's attributive. Secondly, substantival, which means which kind, what's...
It's acting as a noun.
It's acting as a noun, yeah. If it's acting as a noun, the way you know it's substantival is that there's no noun. It'd be article adjective, and there's no noun that matches case number and gender anywhere around it. So that would be like our example, hey agathe. If it's just standing there and there's no noun anywhere that matches, you know, it's substantival. So that would be the good. You might also, depending on the context, you might supply the good one or the good man, because you know, okay, the good thing that is being described is a guy, or the good thing that's being described is a thing. So you use context to determine exactly how you would translate it. But the plain, dry bones version would be the good. That one's easy. It's just like, is there any noun that matches case number and gender? No? Okay. Substantive. That one track. All right. The last one is the predicate position. And this one's a little bit tricky. So what's predicate? How's a predicate functioning?
It's after the noun with usually a to be.
Yeah, usually a to be verb. So in English, you need that to be verb. That is. The man is good. In Greek, you can assume that to be verb quite often based on the word order and the article.
The word order?
Yeah. Article construction and word order. So remember how in attributive position you had this trapped version where the adjective is trapped in between the article and the noun? Mm-hmm. If you have this construction, but the adjective is outside of the noun, then you got predicate position.
So it's outside on both sides, is that the picture?
Yeah, so it can be anywhere around the noun, matches word number and gender, or case number and gender, excuse me, but the adjective doesn't have its own article.
Okay.
So that's your clue. So see how this one looks a lot like this one. The only difference is there's no article for the adjective. There's no article going with agathos.
So it seems easy to find out which kind of adjective it is by narrowing it down. It's not
yes.
These two, so it must be this.
Correct. The best way to start is looking at your articles. You see an adjective, you say, does it have an article or doesn't it? If it doesn't have an article, if it doesn't have its own article, then you know that it's predicate position unless it's in its trapped form. If it's trapped, then it's right here. But this article actually goes with anthropos, because article will always jump to its noun before it jumps to an adjective. So and then there's, like I said, there's two ways you can do it. You can have anthropos, agathos, so the adjective is outside this little article noun sandwich, after or before it. Either way, it's translated the exact same. It's the man is good. So we would supply that assumed noun in there, or excuse me, that assumed verb, to be verb, is, because it's in the predicate position. This one is the one that gets tricky, and you start translating and you miss it, and you start reading your sentence like, this doesn't make any sense, and then it clicks you. Oh yeah, predicate position. There's a verb in here that I'm supposed to know about, that I just have to know. So yeah, the best way, I think, is using the trapped metaphor to distinguish between these two. And then looking for your article. Are there two articles? You know it's attributive. There's ha, noun, ha, adjective, or tain, noun, tain, adjective, or tus, noun, tus, adjective, whatever the article is. If there's two articles, it's attributive. If there's only one article, you got to figure out if it's first attributive, substantival, or predicate, and you do that by word order.
Yep.
All right. Like I said, adjectives themselves, that's the only tricky part, is figuring out how they're functioning. And the way you know it's an adjective is you recognize it. It's an adjective. I know that from vocab. But how is it functioning in the sentence? It takes a little bit of practice. Questions?
The only thought that I had, it's not really related to Greek. You said noun sandwich, I immediately thought of Parks and Rec with naming the sandwich the Leslie Nope.
It's like, it's not very good, but it's named after me, so.
I liked it.
Hey, whatever makes you remember, right? One typo in the syllabus was I put the full paradigm of verb endings, and I meant to put the full paradigm of noun or adjective endings. But you already know them because they're the noun endings. So that should be easy peasy. But hint, hint, next week on the quiz, there'll be a little chart with agathos in the top left corner, and you got to fill in the rest. But okay. You should already know that.
Are all of the endings in this the same for like every single word in Greek, pretty much?
For nouns, yeah. So yeah, you pretty much know all of the noun endings except for third declension, which are confusing and funky. And I don't remember if we actually cover third declensions, if I decided we'd leave them out or not. And I took my syllabus out of here. But if you have your syllabus there, if you see anywhere that it says third declension nouns, that's...
Yep.
Okay.
November 13th.
So yeah, we'll get to that. You'll have extra endings. Essentially, third declension nouns are any nouns that don't fall into those two patterns, or those three patterns. And again, you know those by memorizing the word. Vocab on page 70, 71, and then we've reached the end of one of those sections, so there's a big review. Essentially, we've gotten to the end of, you know how nouns work now. So we're going to start getting into verbs and some of the more fun, tricky things. What are we doing next week?
Next week is the 9th. We're doing introduction to verbs, present, active.
Do we not have Bible study in my home church?